You can just set it there. Okay, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at verses 27 to 31 this morning. And before we get into that, what I would like to do is want to ask you to think of one thing that God is maybe wanting you to do, asking you to do, that you simply can't do. Yeah, it's a big list, isn't it?
Giant list.
So, good, you can think of 100 things. I probably can, too. Just take a minute, just think what that would be. Something that God wants you to do that you simply can't do. God is that way, by the way. He does ask us to do things we can't do. Yeah.
Started the time when all those crowds were following Jesus, the disciples came and said, send them into the villages so they can buy something to eat.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So we just have 5 loaves of 2.
That's right. That's a good, that's a really good illustration. Yeah, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Okay, the kingdom of God does not work the way the kingdom of earth works. And so it's a different, I don't know how I would call it, different mechanism, different way of doing business, different whatever you want to call it. And so here on earth, what gets you ahead is things like money, power, you're in a powerful position, that kind of stuff. Here on earth, people like Steve Jobs and Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump, they have lots of influence here on earth. But in the kingdom of God, I doubt those men have much influence. Because the kingdom of God works differently from how the kingdom of earth works. And so, in the kingdom of God, things like money and a crown are actually pretty worthless in the end. They're worth a lot on earth, but they're worthless in the kingdom of God. And sometimes we need to remember that, because it's really easy to forget that and start operating the way earth operates when that's not what God really calls us to. And you forget it sometimes, don't you? I mean, I do. I try to work the way earth works. A lot. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, right? That's how earth works. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's how heaven works. It's a different paradigm. It's a different way of work, a different way of working. And we forget it. That's why we need the reminder. That's why God kept giving you that verse. and me too. And so in the kingdom of God, God looks for something different in a man. And so compared to God, Bill Gates is a beggar, guys. And so God really isn't much impressed with his money. God's got 10 times, he's got infinitely more money than Bill Gates has at his disposal. And so God just isn't impressed with the things that impress us. God yawns at riches like that. Ho-hum, that's all you've got? You think you're something? I've made the universe. Try that. So that does not get God's attention. That gets our attention. Doesn't get God's attention. Here's what does get God's attention. Faith. That gets God's attention in a man or a woman. You and I do not have influence with God the way the earth gets influence, money, power, that stuff. But you and I have influence with God through faith in Jesus our Lord. that gives us influence with God. In the kingdom of God, that's what gets us ahead, if you want to think of it that way. Matthew 9, 27 to 31. As Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came in to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they said. Then he touched their eyes and said to them, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. It's kind of odd. They get something by faith and then turn around and disobey the guy they had faith in, right? Sounds like us sometimes. Okay, this is a story that centers on two things. The first thing is the power and authority of Christ. And the second thing is the faith of these two men. That's what this story is about. In fact, the central message of this story is verses 28 and 29. Look at those verses again. They came into the house. Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they said. And he touched their eyes and said to them, "According to your faith, be it done to you." That's the central message of this story right here. And so let's talk a little bit about the story. The story begins as Jesus is returning, probably home, or where he's staying, we'll put it that way, since he didn't officially have his own home. But he did have places that he stayed at. This could be Peter's home. It could be Levi's home. We don't know whose home this is. But what makes us think that is in verse 28, it says when he entered the house, the article, the house, indicates it's not a house. He didn't enter any old house. He entered a specific house that they're sort of assuming the reader's going to understand who this is. And so it's probably the house he often stays at, or a house he often stays at, where he is. It's kind of like going home, in a sense. As he's traveling home, two blind men follow him. They probably heard, "Hey, Jesus is passing." Obviously, they're blind. They didn't see him, but they probably heard, "Hey, Jesus is right over here." And of course, they've heard the stories of what Jesus has done. And so they follow him, it says. And so they're following him in verse 27. And they're crying aloud. They are probably shouting. They want the attention of this man. And they're saying something specific. "Have mercy on us, Son of David." They're probably over and over again. "Have mercy on us, Son of David. Have mercy on us, Son of David." See, here's Jesus. This is their chance. They've heard the stories, and they probably talked amongst themselves. "Man, if only he would come here." Well, he's here. "Have mercy on us, Son of David." They're desperate. These men want Jesus. They don't want him to pass by. And they know who he is. They call him Son of David. That's a messianic title. That's not just he happens to be some guy who descended from David. That's a title saying this is the Messiah. They're saying he's king. Is what they're saying he's you are our king. That's what Son of David is meaning in that context. It's kind of like saying, "Have mercy on us, King of Kings." They know who this guy is. And so Jesus gets home. I don't know why he didn't answer them on the way, but whatever reason, maybe he did, it's just not recorded, but he gets home and he goes inside and they come in. This different culture, you know. I guess you can invite yourself into somebody else's house that you don't know and just kind of walk on into their house, and because that's what these guys did. They just walked on into Jesus' house, the house Jesus was at. That's boldness, is what that is. I mean, you think about that. You wouldn't do that to somebody, would you? Just kind of walk right on into their house, where they're staying, uninvited. I don't know, maybe they were invited. That's not recorded either. We don't know all the details. But whether they're invited or not, that's boldness. That's what faith does. See, faith boldly comes to Jesus, is what faith does. It's what these two blind men are doing right here. Faith, it says, Lord, my mother, she doesn't know you. Have mercy on her, Lord. Faith says, Lord, I lost my job. Have mercy on me, son of David. Lord, my dad died. Have mercy on me. Lord, we need help. Have mercy on us. Faith does that. It goes to Jesus with that kind of stuff. These guys are going to Jesus with their stuff. We come to Jesus with our stuff. But faith goes to Jesus with your stuff. That's what faith does. Boldly. Straight to him. And it may seem sometimes as if we're kind of barging in. Like maybe these guys, it might have felt that way. As if they're just kind of barging in. Uninvited, but faith does that. See, before God, we don't really need an invitation. We've already gotten the invitation. God has already given us free access to the throne of God. We have it now. We have the invitation. And so when we go, we're not barging in. It may seem that way, but that's what faith is. Faith trusts that, well, I can do this because God said I can do this. And so let's go to Jesus with this issue, whatever it is. And so faith does not really ask for permission to approach the throne of God because it knows it already has permission to approach the throne of God through Jesus. I love the boldness of these men. They're broken men. I mean, they turn around and disobey him later. But, you know, Peter, I picture Peter here. These guys are same personality. Just barge right on in there. Just ask Jesus what you want. Shout until he hears. Keep following him. Keep going. Keep going. That's what these men are doing. That's good. That's what God likes. He likes that. Keep pursuing him. Don't give up. Barge right on in there. When they finally meet Jesus, he says to them, verse 28, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" Believe is a verb for faith. In actually the New Testament, the words for believe and faith are the same word. Just one's a noun, one's a verb. That's the difference between them. It's the same root word. And so when Jesus says, "Do you believe?" what he's saying is, "Do you have faith?" That's what he's saying. But the faith Jesus wants to know about isn't generic. Jesus asks if they have faith in something specific. "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" It's not just some vague faith in God somewhere. He gets specific with some issue right in their lives. And he points the issue, he focuses the issue on himself. Do you believe that I am able to do this? That's what Jesus asks them. In other words, he's asking them, do you believe that Jesus has authority over blindness? Jesus is asking them that. He wants to know, do you believe that? Faith is that way. It's never vague. God insists that our faith get specific. Always. Because vague faith isn't really faith. So then, do you believe, if Jesus were talking, he might say something like this to us. Do you believe, Mike, that I am able to raise up this team of leaders that you're praying for? Or that I'm able, Elizabeth, to bring you the people that you're praying for? Or do you believe that I can provide for your kids to go to college? Or do you believe that I can heal your leg? Or that I'll heal your soul after your mom died? Or that, do you believe I'm able to save your son? Do you believe this is where faith shows itself? Faith always involves life. Take life out of the picture, and faith is just some nebulous theory. It's a nice idea. But when you get specific with it, all of a sudden, we really have to trust God for something specific. And it means something now. That's how faith is. See, life is just where faith shows itself. That's all life is. We get to see your faith and my faith simply by watching us live life. So, Jesus asks them, do you believe that I am able to heal your blindness? And they say, yes, Lord. And Jesus heals them. And then he turns around and says, according to your faith, be it done to you. And their eyes were opened. Jesus ties their healing to their faith. He puts the two things together. These blind men were healed because they believed Jesus would heal them. That's why they were healed. Their faith gave them influence with God. See, that's how the kingdom of God works. That's not how the kingdom of earth works. It's how the kingdom of God works. Different paradigms. Now, we need to know that faith is how things work in the kingdom of God. Faith is the currency of heaven. You want to do business in heaven, you do business in heaven with faith. That's how it works. Now, this truth is extremely basic to Scripture. And it's actually really simple. I mean, faith is something a 2-year-old can do, right? But it's really hard. Sometimes it's a lot harder for us sophisticated folks than it is for the 2-year-olds. But this truth is everywhere in the New Testament. I told you already that in the New Testament, the words for faith and believe are the same word. Only the only difference is the part of speech. One's a noun, one's a verb. But it's the same basic word. That's why Jesus says, do you believe, verb, that I can do this? And then later says, according to your faith, noun. Jesus actually ties them together in that very story. Do you believe? Well, yes, according to your faith, be it done to you. What I want to do, I'm just going to give you a bunch of scriptures for a minute. We're just going to take a minute. I want you to listen to the Word of God. This idea that faith is how it works in the kingdom of God is everywhere in the New Testament. Everywhere. And I'm going to read you some scriptures. And I want you to understand that the scriptures I read that I'm going to give you are about a very tiny portion of all the scriptures that deal with faith and belief in the New Testament. And so, I just started writing scriptures down as I was, you know, looking at this. So, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, and then it's quoted in the New Testament many times. Romans 1:17 is an example. We're saved by grace through faith, and this not of your own doing, not by works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians 2:8 and 9. If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move over there, and it will go into the sea. That's Matthew 17:20. Many, many, many times in the Gospels, we hear these words like this. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has made you well. According to your faith, be it done to you. We just saw that in this story. Over and over again, we hear that in the New Testament. Acts 3:16, the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health after they made the lame man walk. A man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. That's Romans 3:28. And then Romans 5:1, since then we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access into this grace in which we now stand. Jesus, Mark 1:15, says, repent and believe the gospel. That's his message. Repent and believe the gospel. But to all who receive him, he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. That's John 1:12. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. It's in John 6. Unless you believe that I am he, Jesus said, you will die in your sins. It's John 8:24. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's when John ends his gospel. He says, that's the whole point of this gospel. I wrote this gospel that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He who believes in me shall never die, Jesus said. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's Romans 10:9. Ephesians 1, Paul's praying. He says, I pray that you may know, and he gives a list of several things that you may know. And here's what one of those things are. I pray that you may know the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 1:19. This is commandment, 1 John, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another. It's 1 John 3:23. Luke, writing about Mary, says this about her. Blessed is she who believed. Mary is blessed because she believed. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of for everyone who believes. You quoted that for us earlier. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's Romans 1:16. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. 1 John 5:1. Mark 6. Here's the converse of that. He could do no mighty work there when he went to his hometown. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Believe gives you all sorts of stuff, but he could do no mighty work when there is unbelief. Guys, I didn't even touch Hebrews 11. I almost want to read through Hebrews 11. Just here, Hebrews 11. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. I'm not going to read all of this, but verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, built an ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive. Many died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the Exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months. By faith, Moses, when he was grown, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on the dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? Time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept the release, so that they might rise again to a better life. And it goes on. Guys, the New Testament has a lot to say about faith. A lot. I've just touched a very small part of everything the New Testament has to say. And I spent a lot of time talking about faith, just reading Scripture. This is how the kingdom of God works. It works by faith. What that means is, I believe, the biggest problem people today have is not that they're greedy or they're racist or they're dishonest or they're whatever. It's that they don't believe. They don't have faith. All of those sins, whatever they are, greed, lust, arrogance, idolatry, all of those sins are a result of no faith. Salvation comes by faith. Victory over sin comes by faith. Peace and joy come by faith. Power in ministry comes by faith. When we trust God, we see Him work. When we don't trust God, He's not able to do mighty works in our midst. Everything comes by faith in the kingdom of God. That's how the kingdom works. Now, faith to work has to be in the right thing. Faith must be in Christ. If your faith is somewhere else, it is not going to work. Some trust in chariots, right? Trust is another faith word. If your trust is in chariots, then as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, you're not going anywhere. A lot of people trust in those kinds of things. But that's not what God calls us to trust in. You can't save yourself. You need Christ. You can't fight lust yourself. You need Christ. You can't overcome anger yourself or bitterness or whatever the struggles are. You can't do it yourself. You need Christ. You can't heal yourself. You can't grow a church yourself. You can't minister to refugees yourself. Whatever it is God's called you to, you can't do it yourself. You need Christ. Guys, we need Christ. We need Christ. We need Christ. We need Christ. That's where the faith has to be. That's where Jesus focuses the faith of these blind men. Do you believe that I, Jesus said, am able to do this? Faith in yourself fails. Faith in humanity. Sometimes you hear people talk that way. I have faith in humanity. Faith in humanity is a false hope. Faith in whatever earth offers, money, power, pleasure, whatever it is, if that's where your faith is, it robs you of spiritual power. You have no spiritual power because your faith isn't in anything that has spiritual power. Your faith is in something that is completely of earth. Faith in anything but Christ is dead. It's dead. In faith, we rely on Jesus. We say, Lord, I can't raise leaders without you. I can't do it. You raise them. And by faith, we actually believe he will. See, faith isn't just saying, I can't. It's also saying, but you will. So faith is not just asking God to save you. It's knowing that in Christ, he already has saved you. In Christ. Faith is not just asking for help to fight bitterness or anger or greed or lust or whatever you struggle with. It's knowing that in Christ, God has given victory already over bitterness or anger or whatever it is, and that you yourself are dead to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You are a new creature. You're something different from what you used to be. You hold on to that by faith. Faith is your life rope to the truths of Scripture. Take away faith, and the truths of Scripture do you no good. They're just nice truths, but they're not your truths. You don't hold on to them. You don't have faith. Faith's how you hold on to them. Faith knows what you don't know yet. Faith knows it. It's the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. That's how the writer to Hebrews defines faith. Guys, the church has to trust Christ. And we need this message. The church needs this message. Do you believe that Jesus is able to do this? Whatever the this happens to be. According to your faith, be it done to you. Now, I want to talk a little bit about faith. And we'll say mistakes people make with this business of the kingdom of God operating on faith. The first is, there are a bunch of people who just laugh at it and ignore it. They think it worthless. this idea. Yeah, right. I think I'll just, you go have your faith and believe in your fairy tale, and I'm going to, you know, live in the real world. There are people who act that way. They have no idea what they're laughing at. It's like laughing at nuclear power. It's like saying medicine is worthless. I mean, faith has that kind of power. And they just laugh it off. And there are a lot of people who laugh it off. The second mistake people make is they misapply it. So it's something like this. This is common with prosperity gospel people. There are people who take faith as nothing more than a blank check for anything you wish. And just believe. Oh, you didn't get that Mercedes that you want? Well, you don't have enough faith, brother. Yesterday we were at my sister's house in San Antonio, and my brother-in-law was talking about some preacher asking people to give so he could have his private jet. We need to understand that faith in Christ is in Christ. If you're going to have faith in Christ, then you're going to be about the business of Christ's business. Faith in Christ cares about Christ and his business. Faith in Christ isn't about your own private jet or the BMW you want or whatever it happens to be. We don't get to see it, get to say to God, well, amen, brother, I believe God's going to give me that private jet. That's not the faith. That's selfishness is what that is. That is a misapplication of this truth, this biblical truth, that the just shall live by faith, that your faith has made you well. According to your faith, be it done to you. All of these scriptures that I've been giving you can be misapplied, just as you can take good medicine in bad ways. All of scripture is that way. Scripture is really good medicine. But you can take it in bad ways. That's the second mistake people make about faith. The third one is probably even more common than that one. And it's people in their heads believe it, but in their lives ignore it. See, they think faith is worthwhile. They don't laugh it off like some people do. But earth is simply louder in their lives than faith is. They spend more time on social media than they do in scripture. And so that influences them. They know the movies better than they know God. They are more concerned about their degree than their soul. And so the prosperity people, they talk about, according to your faith, be it done to you. But they use faith as an excuse to get whatever they simply want. Other people see that and react against it. And they rightly want to avoid that. We're not going there. That's just hypocrisy. Our brother-in-law yesterday saw the hypocrisy of the preacher that wanted the private jet and asking people to donate money so he could have his private. He saw through all of that. And lots of people want to avoid all of that. And so what they do is they just kind of throw faith out the window altogether. We have a saying in English, you know, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. I mean, you've got a baby taking a bath and you get rid of the dirty water, but you want to keep the baby. The baby's good. The dirty bathwater is bad. Okay, so faith, this truth, is a good truth. We need to keep it. But some people, in their efforts to avoid the dirty bathwater of the prosperity message, throw faith out with it. And they just sort of take all these scriptures I've been telling you about faith and believing, and they kind of throw them away. Because, well, we don't want to be that prosperity gospel guy, do we? No, we don't. But are you reading scripture and seeing what it says? And how many times it talks about your faith making you well? Listen, guys, I am not preaching a prosperity message, but Scripture preaches faith. And I'm preaching faith. Trust God. Trust God for the things He's called you to. Trust God for your needs. He's promised He'd take care of you. Trust God as you read Scripture. Trust God for the things you see in Scripture that it says God does. From the spiritual things like your own salvation and your own sanctification, because that comes by faith too. From those things all the way to, will God provide for our kids to go to college? Because God says He'll provide our needs. God works as we trust Him. If we don't trust Him, don't expect Him to work. A couple days ago, Richard and I started praying in the mornings. We've been praying for God to bind Satan in the Muslim community. We've been praying for God to raise international leaders. We've been praying for lots of other things too. We're doing it because we kind of started talking, and God's saying this to you, and God's saying this to you, and God was kind of saying some of the same things to both of us. And we said, well, we need to start praying. And so we were doing this because we believe God's called us to do this. That's why we're doing it. Now, if God has called us to it, we have to believe He'll work. This is a work we really can't do. We can't. And that's where faith comes in. You know, if it's something you can do, it doesn't take a whole lot of faith to think you can do it. But when it's something you can't do, all of a sudden the only way you can believe it will get done is now by faith. There is no other option. It's faith or it's not going to get done. That's how it works when God calls you to stuff you can't do. Okay. Now, you remember at the very beginning, I asked you to think of something you can't do, that God's calling you to do. Okay, you should have something in your mind, whatever that is. What I want us to do is this. We're going to take some time. I want you to split up, pair off in twos. Maybe we could have one with three or something. I didn't count numbers here. But two or three, no more than three people. And just go and share what that thing is that you can't do, that you want God to do, and that you have to trust Him for. And let's ask Him to do it, to give us that faith. Ask Him for faith to trust Him to do whatever it is that's in your mind. And thank Him for salvation by faith, because that's how it comes. By faith in Christ. Okay, ready? Find a partner. Go somewhere. You can go to any room in here. And we'll pray. When you're done, you come back. We're going to have some lunch. Yeah.